just want to talk to us. I want to give the devil a very firm application in a very proper place by just talking. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. When you have it, say amen. Very familiar scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Ding. Emphasis there. And are heavy laden. There's a cliche that comes at the end of that verse of scripture. And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. I am meek, lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He goes on in verse 30 again. This is Jesus speaking. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to just talk for a little while on yoke, unity, and revival. It's not profound. It's not going to be deep. It's simple. I believe the Holy Ghost is just going to talk to us. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I believe that Sunday evening, afternoon, and knowing that Brother McClain was going to be preaching Sunday night, I just began to pray and seek after God. I want to commend. The Bible says give honor where honor's due. I want to commend Apostolic Temple. I want to commend each of you, saints of God, the faithful. Sound like they're having church in there. If you had looked at that preacher in there, you'd have laughed. He looks good. Almost let him come preach in here and me go teach the kids. I was picking on Brother Blagg. But I want to commend you for your faithfulness, your desire to see the things of God grow, mature. But tonight I believe that the Holy Ghost just wants us to understand in a different perspective that there is something greater, something much greater. And I'm going to go to the Word of God again and from a commentary perspective, pull this up if my iPad will allow me the joy. I'm having fun trying to keep it from flipping screens. Praise God. Nothing like a piece of equipment. But in talking about the things that God has done in your lives and how you are faithful, it's important that we give credit to each other. I'm going to lighten this up tonight. It's going to be fun. It's just going to be relaxed. I want you to take a deep breath and just smile. Pastor's not bragging on us now so he can give us a whooping. I didn't say nothing about whooping anybody. I said giving the devil a proper application. I believe that the world is so caught up in looking for something that's entertaining. Looking for something that appeals to the flesh, something that's new. You know, it seems as technology grows and intensifies, every time a new phone comes out, everybody runs to buy the new phone because it has something that the old one didn't have. Is that wrong? No, I'm not preaching against phones tonight. not going to preach against anything. I just want to talk to us because I believe that there's a place where we have to separate from the world and allowing the world to rule us in our relationship with God. As I did a study this afternoon, or actually this morning, looking into some of the things, the flesh is desiring for more. It's wanting the greatest. It's wanting the best. It's wanting more money. It's wanting a better house. It's wanting a newer car. When I looked at the parallel to the church, I wonder how often that God wonders when we're going to desire the same equivalent to the world as what we desire in the spirit. Or should I say the spirit versus the world? Am I willing to pay the cost it is to get the spiritual iPhone? What is it, 14 now, baby? Technology is not a sin. It's something to help us. But I wonder if we're going to develop the technology in the spirit realm that's equivalent to the iPhone 14. Pastor, that's kind of crazy thinking. Jesus starts out this with a way of looking at, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden. We're living in a world that life within itself gives us such a burden. We become weary. We become tired. I was speaking to people tonight, and it was humorous because someone said, I am so wore out. Praise God. It's okay to be tired. If you tell me you're marvelous and you're still not tired, we need to go to the altar and repent. People were here on Sunday morning and they had their tongues hanging out. They were so tired. The Lord really began to talk to me about how that we look at each other. Okay? I'm just going to talk tonight. It's going to be fun for a few minutes. But I want to take it into the typology from the spiritual aspect. Because we do not understand how much power we have within our physical body. I looked at the commentary, and I'm going to go right there real quick and just start. All you that labor, the Savior here perhaps refers primarily to the Jews. They groaned under the weight of the ceremonial laws and the traditions of the elders. Going back to Acts 15 and 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? Tells them that by coming to him and embracing the new system of religion, paraphrase, they can no doubt, however, that he meant here clearly or chiefly to address the poor, the lost, the ruined, the sinners, and mankind or woman that was burdened with a consciousness of his transgressions, trembling, fearful. But as I began to really dig in a little deeper to this concept and how God began to talk, take my yoke. Yoke is used in the Bible as an emblem. It gives us a knowledge. How many of you have really looked up the word yoke and what a yoke is? In our world today, we pretty much don't know the parallel to a yoke. But when you go back and look at the word yoke, I was going to try to pull a picture up, and the lack of my technology ability, I couldn't send it to the email quick enough. But in the day, the yoke was just a piece of wood. It was a timber that had a shackle that went around the neck of an animal. And it tied the animals together so that they could be directed. But they pulled together. Okay? Humorously, I was sitting there thinking about this, and Brother Alba, you're just a good-looking guy tonight. Come here. I need you to help me. You're fixing to get yoked up. Oh, come on, we're going to yoke this way. If I'm yoked up with Brother Alba, I want you to understand how powerful you are as an individual. Tonight I'm going to talk, but I'm going to brag on you. Is that all right? Well, all you said amen, I'll talk to you. The rest of them just sit there and listen. Hallelujah. But if Brother Alba and I begin to walk together, it's very easy for us to accomplish what we were designed to do when we're yoked together. Hello? The scripture even talks to us. He says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, but Brother McLean, we've got to win the loss. Absolutely. But there comes a place to where we cannot get too close to where they take control of our life and start to take us in the wrong direction. Amen? But the humorous part of this is a dysfunctional or an unequally yoked individual. Now, we're fixing to go forward. We're not going to accomplish much. He said, if I go around again, he's fixing to fall down. The enemy wants to allow us the privilege to really not have clarity of where we're supposed to be going. Without a vision, what's the Bible say? My people will perish. Because of the unrestraint, because of the impossibilities, it's almost an impossible situation for us to plow the field if we're not headed the same direction. But if you take these two big old boys up or these preachers, I promise you, you put something for us in front of us to do. And we agree to do it. Scripture even talks about how many can be put to flight. Hello? I'm not done yet, so you can take a rest. He was dizzy. The figurative here is the use of ox and the hence signifying the labor for one or in the service of anyone. We look at this as the part of, and you go back to Leviticus, and I'm not going to go into depth tonight because I want to keep it very simple. You're going to probably look at it and say, man, he didn't really talk about much. He just kept repeating himself. Of bondage of slavery in Leviticus, take my yoke. Of afflictions or crosses, lamentations. Of the punishment of sin in Lamentations 1 and 14. Of the commandments of God, of legal ceremonies. He goes on to talk about meekness. If we look in Matthew 5 and 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He's given us a reason why we should embrace him. Can I just say it this way? He gives us a reason to embrace religion. And I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about God's religion. I'm talking about oneness. There's people that become overbearing, but meek and mild and gentle is those that learn understanding of what meekness is all about. The humorous of this is the power of the church. You. I want everybody to hear me tonight. The power that you have. I made a statement to someone today. I said there was only one perfect, and I keep repeating this, and I'm not going to stop. And that was Jesus Christ. I told you I'm just going to talk tonight. I could preach, I promise you. I do have enough Holy Ghost on me right now. I could preach. But the Lord said shift in gear, and I'm in grandma right now. There's a spirit that's trying to stop and negate the prophecies and the promises of God at Apostolic Temple. My goal in this service tonight is for us to become yoked up together in a capacity and an understanding that it doesn't matter what hell brings our way or what life brings our way, we are going to keep pulling together. I'm not upset. I'm bragging on you tonight. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, you are awesome. Now, there's husbands and wives that's got to tell each other that. You just had a disagreement. I'm picking on you. I'm playing. Now, look at somebody else that you didn't say that to and tell them, you're just marvelistic. Look at somebody else and tell them, you're called of God. We don't need to come to church waiting for a new word. This is the word. There is no new message. There is no new philosophy of religion. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're headed the same way. We got to agree that we're going to be weary. We got to understand that there's those that are here tonight that has an IQ of a genius. Surely not, Pastor, praise God. There's those that have an IQ of just middle life and just normal people. And there's so some of us that are, praise the Lord. And you know I said some of us now. So don't go say Pastor was calling me stupid tonight because I didn't say that. They just lost it. Hit too close to home. It was a big crater. Professional Pentecost is not something that's going to survive in the world. Did you hear what I just said? Professional Pentecostal people, professional Christians are not going to survive in the world we live in today. When he said, take my yoke, let's look at it from the Christian aspect or the church aspect. The world is hard. The suffering and the consequences of life within the world are extremely hard. I can take it a little easier so you can understand it. If you talk to the alcoholic, you get yoked up with the wrong thing, there's major consequences. To the drug addict, there's major consequences. To the whoremonger, there's major consequences. To the professional Pentecostal person, apostolic person, there's major consequences. But when we look at Jesus Christ and the example and what he gave us, what he was teaching here, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He repeated that over and over in these three verses of scripture. What was the purpose was, he was trying to emphasize, if you'll quit worrying about life, forget about all the problems, don't try to be just hooked up to all these things that will take you down, but start understanding and get hooked up with me, your load will become light. I think it was Brother Jordan that my friend told me this afternoon. He said, it's easy to take our burdens to the altar and to give them to God, but what's humorous is when we leave the altar, we have a magnet connected to our problems that we gave God, and we take them with us when we leave. The Lord tonight wants us to really design and move into a place where we can find something that we've never found before. We can go somewhere we've never been before. I was reading at the house just a few moments ago before I came to the office. The apostle had a relationship when he went into that place, into the heavenlies. He said, let's build three tabernacles and never leave here. The writer made the comment. He said, well, he said he was just basically saying, let the world go wherever it's going to go. I'm going to stay here where I don't have to worry about anything. The purpose of that revelation was so that we could see that God has a place for us to live in the world, but to become so effectual and fervent within the world that we can move somebody, but we can live in the world, but we don't have to put up with the things of the world. I'm talking about yoked up tonight. But we cannot be yoked up if we don't have unity with Him. He desires us to have a place where we move into a realm where that everything we do and say is in check with the Spirit. Brother Alfredo was talking before the office and we was having a good time talking about prayer. He was bringing some things to me and I just happened to walk over and we made just a little short statement, wasn't it? It wasn't nothing big. I was talking about how God will move on us when we get in yoked up and in unity. And I walked over close and put my hand on his shoulder and, hello? Tears started flowing. And it just, you could feel the emotion of the moment. Ephesians 4:13, he says, till we all come in unity of faith. I know I'm bouncing around a little bit. Just give me some break. Takes life circumstances and put it in the trash can and start giving it to God. Leave it at the altar. Take dominion. Who are we? We're the body of Christ. Did God give us the Holy Ghost for us to keep suffering and have to deal with things in this world and have it to drain us every day of life? I don't believe that. According to the Word of God, He gives us the power to become overcomers. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if the Holy Ghost was the same as what it was on the day of Pentecost, why do we ever have anybody leave our altars that do not get fulfillment and get the Holy Ghost? Has anybody ever been on a diet? I hear a lot of laughing and a few people saying, well, I've seen a couple people say no, that they haven't. Has anybody ever been on a diet? Raise your hand. One, two, three, Brother Rankford. They don't think it's a diet, so it's fine. Brother Gary Long, I know my brother-in-law, he don't have to. He can eat 14 gallons of Bluebell and never gain an ounce. I can't. If I look at it, I gain 10 pounds. I was going to use an analogy, but that don't work. I mean, I know I get everybody right here, maybe. Jesus, I don't know, but I probably may not. Has anybody ever wanted something but you couldn't buy it because you didn't have enough money to buy it? Has anybody ever bought anything they ever wanted? Man. Some of you bought everything you've ever wanted? I was supposed to say, Brother Gantz, would you go pull the financial statements of this church up, please? No, what I'm trying to say is, let me clarify that real quick one more time before we all lie in the house of God. Has anybody bought everything you've ever wanted? Jesus. Well, I was getting nervous. I was supposed to have money to build buildings and pay for concrete. What's the typology of that, Brother McLean? Well, there's always things that we cannot do that we want to do. Amen? I brought some good news tonight. There's never anything that you want to do in the spirit that you cannot do. Because when we get yoked up with Him, we develop a way of communication, and everything that we have and desire for, He's already promised us that He would do it. Brother McLean, I've got faith. Then don't tell me there's nothing that you can't do. Brother McLean, I believe there's healing power. But it's easy for us to profess it, but it's harder for us to possess it. Yesterday I was listening to a preacher preach a message on faith, and when he was preaching, he was saying there's something about faith that we always preach. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, but there's people that profess that and preach it, but they've never prayed a prayer of faith where anybody was healed. I come tonight to talk just simply this, and I'm not going to be a long time, I promise. Another hour and I'll be done. We've got to become yoked up with unity. Before we can be unified with each other, we've got to be unified with God. The importance of dwelling in the house of God and coming together with brothers and sisters is because we live in a world that wants to drain us. The pressures of life wants to steal our joy. It wants to zap us and to take us down that road where we're empty. And then the burdens of life become so heavy that we cannot survive. Matthew 24 and 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I'm going to hurry through this because I've got just some things I want to throw out there. 28 and 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. The power of unity, the power of yoke, and the power of revival. Going to dictionary, yoke is a piece of timber, as I said, hollowed and made curved, each end and curved with the bows to receive the necks of the oxen or the cattle or the horses or the donkey. From a ring and a hook and a bow, a chain extends to the things to be drawn or to yoke to another pair of oxen behind them. The matter of limitations with a yoke is according to the need that is at hand. If I may pause, the yoke of the church is something where we've got to become yoked together as a body. Unity, the state of being one. Oneness, unity may consist of a simple substance of existing being as the soul, but usually it consists in a close conjunction of particles or parts. Unity is a thing undivided within itself, but separate from other things. We look up the word revival, revive. Return, recall, recovery to life from death or an apparent death as a revival of a drowned person or a reviving of a drowning person. Return or recall to activity from a state of lack of commitment. Also, the reviving of a world of spirits or the world that needs the Spirit of God. Yoking up with God, becoming unified with each other and having end time revival with the church. I want to talk to everybody tonight. My point is being yoked up together with each other. Somebody made fun of my yellow coat. Oh, it's funny. That's cool. I don't care. What's that? Mustard? Okay, colored mustard. Well, some people want mayonnaise. I'm not wearing a white coat, I promise you. I like my yellow coat or orange coat, whatever you'll call it, but it's got white in it. But guess what? Brother Rainford don't wear this color. He's got on a black coat. I think it looks good on him. But he don't have to wear this coat. But I still got to like him because he likes a black coat. Somebody may wear a pink coat in here. I think Brother Jaime did one time. It was good for me. Didn't bother me. Right? I'm just talking tonight. Just chill down. Come on. Some of you can laugh. There's ladies that want to wear purple, blue, pink, purple, polka dotted, black, white, yellow, green. It doesn't matter. Our opinions cannot influence us to have an opinion about somebody that would de-yoke us from the body. I want you to listen tonight. I know it's different, but the Lord wants this tonight for this church. Somebody says, well, where's all these people, Brother McClain? I don't know. There's people that's had to move. There's things that's went on. There's things and decisions that God's told them to do, things they've done it. Does that have a problem with us? No. Are we going to be upset at them? No. It's none of your business. None of my business. I want to make this as simple and as easy tonight as we can get a hold of, but I want everybody to get a hold of it. We got to get yoked up with him, and then we got to yoke up with each other. If she got on a hot pink dress, she's going to be hot toddy. But if I don't like it, I still got to like her. Yoked, unity, and revival. Somebody says, well, you're wasting time talking about this tonight. No, I'm not wasting time because the spirit world, there's a division that wants to come into the church because personal opinions that you have should never affect us then becoming, because we're not careful, we become de-yoked together. Then as Brother Alba and I was going in separate ways, we're doing this number. I'm going to tell you how powerful this is, church. We've had people come in this church this year, multiple people. Not one, not five, not 10, not 15, not 20. We've had dozens that have come into the church house. They've come to this altar, that altar. Stand across the front of this church looking for God. Repenting, but there wasn't a power. There wasn't enough faith yoked together with God to bring forth the source and the production that could release them from the bondage that they have with being yoked up with unbelievers in the world. I'm bragging on you now. Come on, don't get negative. But the Holy Ghost has given me a revelation on how that we have to become yoked with him and not worried about what's going on around us
and coming here together and having no ought with each other. That's why it's imperative that we make sure that nobody has a problem with each other in the church house. Spirit world wants to bring things in through the flesh and our minds, and we start worrying about, well, I'm worried about what everybody else says. I don't have pastor's ability to talk like he does, talk about Chittabahodicism. Man, I love it when it gets tight like this. I just keep digging. I got the big backhoe tonight and the Holy Ghost. Just we got to deal with it. We'll take some rutabagas out of here tonight. There's people, every individual in this building tonight is called of God to have a level and a spirit of faith. I need to talk for a minute now. I hadn't been talking yet. Now I'm supposed to talk. I've just been rambling. We're going to leave here tonight. We're going to be yoked up with God. We're going to be yoked up with unity. And we're going to be yoked up with revival. Brother McClain, how does that happen? Here's how it's going to happen. You got to put everything aside. We got to get our nose out of everybody's business. Okay, I'm going to back up. I need to replay that one more time. We got to get our nose out of everybody's business. If it's not good, we don't repeat it. Because then we're de-yoking and we're starting to circle. And long as the Spirit can get us all bound up and our flesh can get us going in circles, we're going to stay dizzy. We're not going to have faith. We're not going to have revival. There's things that we got to leave alone. There's things that we don't need to touch. We go back into prayer closet, and that's where we find things. That's where we pray, and that's how we pray about those things. I've hit my high points. Now I'm just going to talk to the church. There's things that cannot be taken care of by the assembly of the church. It's not our job to say some things. It's God's job to give conviction and God to give revelation. Hello? I'm going to say it again. It's God's place to give revelation. I don't see any little babies here tonight, but most of them are in the other room. If you take an infant and you try to feed that infant something that's not equivalent to the mother's milk, most likely they're going to choke and die. Hello? If I can get yoked up and quit worrying about problems and circumstances and things, and keep my eyes on Him and the unity of the church and the revival of the church, then something's going to happen within individuals because they begin to develop. I'm probably going to get somebody mad at me right now, but I need some help. Crystal, can I use you tonight? You won't get mad at me? She's repenting now. Stand up. Oh, she's handing off her papers. I'm sorry, I got your notebook. I want to give credit to somebody. That's her. For 20 years, I fought this woman. See, some of you already got a look on your face. You got a little, I feel that spirit right now. Hard-headed, stubborn. Hello? She refused to do stuff. But she would always come back, and John, she would ask me, why? I need understanding. I got to have a clarity.
One thing I told her, and I believe she still believes it today, and she's still doing it today. What she don't understand, she goes and prays about it. That's right. Give her a good one. Thank you. Thank you, Bud John. Thank you. If we give up on people because we don't see what God sees in every individual, we destroy. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm bragging on somebody. There's other people I'm going to brag on tonight because I'm just going to take my time. That's what you was. You give her something to do and she'll do it. And she does it with perfection. That's why she manages a large corporation of properties and individual properties. It's Mr. So-and-so is a big man. He's a billionaire. I promise you. There's individuals that have lost out with God because we gave up on them and we tried to force them into doing something that they did not understand. They don't believe. They haven't had revelation to it. Some of you better listen to me tonight because Pastor is talking about being yoked up with God, revelation, His commandments, and unity with God, unity with the body. And when we have these things in place, guess what's going to happen? The apostolic end time revival starts to come into place. Roughly today I started and I was sitting in the office after prayer. I guess it was about 10:25. I took a piece of paper and I jotted down on a piece of paper how many people had walked through the doors of Apostolic Temple this year. Guessed, first time people. And it was around 426 people that I knew of. First time. I think you all need to clap your hands for each other. That's positive. The apostolic church has to deal with the issue of the pressure that's put on holiness. It's quiet here when I say that. The pressure that's put on separation from the world. I'm not going charismatic. But I'm going to tell you what, there's more churches dying today because we put more emphasis on holiness before someone ever sees the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I understand what he says without hope. Yeah. But that goes back to the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost to understand what holiness is. And you got to be able to develop a personal relationship with God. They've got to learn number one priority is I've got to learn how to get yoked up with God. Then I've got to learn how to get yoked up with the body. But the body has to accept them as they are. Alfredo, come hurry, help me. Help me hurry around. Come on, man. My goodness, you got fast. Come on, get them legs moving. He's tired. He said he is tired. So am I. Guess what? I've been up all day too. I know preachers just don't do that. We just drink coffee and sit around and just eat all the time. By the way, I hadn't had a day off either. People come into the church. That, you know what's got to happen with all of us? I don't care if you're 99 years old. You've got to yoke up. But the worst thing we can do is yoke up the opposite way. This is what you've got to do. And they're trying to learn how to even find out where what are we supposed to be doing. And I'm like, come on, man, let's go. My goodness, come on. What are you doing? Come on. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. Get over there. Get over here. Get over here, you piece of junk. Is that a little too hard tonight? I'm sorry. Spirit of God has given revelation to this preacher and this pastor here tonight to give commendment for those that are still faithful. Where are you going? Get over there, you piece of junk. He's not really. That is an unbelievable guy right there. He's my helper. I bragged on him in the office. You know why he wanted to come to church early? I see. Oh.
It's a personal matter. Don't get your nose in his business. I saw them noses growing towards me. Why was he there? He was in trouble. He's hungry for revelation of what God wants to do in his life. You know what God does with people like this? He lifts them up. He says, keep walking like you're walking. Stay close to the man of God. Start listening. Follow after him and follow in the Holy Ghost. Guess what God's going to do? God's going to get you yoked up even closer. We're going to have unity. Now you just get to walk with Pastor and preach a little while tonight. You ready? He told me tonight, he said, I got my first Bible study, Brother McLean. It's coming. That's what I'm talking about. Let me tell you what yoked up is. It's when we quit worrying about life's problems and all this mess and start saying, you know what? It's a joy to live for God because everything in this world is going to pass away. Did you forget that? Everything in this world is going to pass away. Our bodies are going to pass away. Our homes are going to burn up. Our money's going to burn up. Everything's going to go away, but guess what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to be there. I've got to be yoked up. We've got to be yoked up. We've got to be unified. And when we get unified, guess what's going to happen? Revival is going to happen in our city. We're going to conquer everything. I don't have a clock tonight. I'm sorry. Praise God. My wife says she does. Praise the Lord. I'll pick it on her, baby. I'll play it. She didn't say that. You feel all right? Okay. You're helping me big time. I want to talk to us just a minute, church. The power of a church that is yoked together, not letting differences stop us. Not letting weariness of the flesh cause you not to pray. The Spirit's upset. Not causing you not to pray. We'll show you the power of one person. Brother Johnson, just gently, just nice and kind, loving way, just say, I love you, Jesus. What are you talking about, Brother McLean? It's when people are in this altar and we're tired. Got to find a seat. I'm tired, weary. But I know Brother Johnson's saying, in Jesus' name. Little did I know, Brother Johnson had a knee surgery, and he can't move much, but he's back there, and he's saying, in the name of Jesus. And his sister Darla had dental surgery, and she's got a problem, and she can't hardly move, but she's over there saying, I plead the blood. Brother, my, back there is just saying, my. He climbed, fell out of an attic doing electrical work. And all he can do is say, my. You say, Brother McLean, that's irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. Let me tell you how important. Just stay seated there, Bubba. I like you right there praying like that. Let me tell you how important your words are. There was a preacher recently. He made this statement. He said, just pray how you know how to pray, please. There was a brand new man there in the church that he didn't understand really how to pray. He had no clue. You know what he said? Hot dog Jesus. Hot dog Jesus. Hot dog Jesus. Hot dog Jesus. They're dealing with an individual that had a spirit, and it was bound in a spiritual place, and they couldn't break through. But hot dog Jesus, when he started hollering out, hot dog Jesus, That hot dog Jesus came and it delivered somebody that was bound with a spirit. They lifted their hands and began to talk in tongues in Jesus' name as the spirit hot dog Jesus gave the utterance. The importance of us binding together. Some of you feeling the Holy Ghost right now. You're starting to feel this little ripple of the Holy Ghost and this yoked up. I'm going to be yoked up with each other. I'm going to make a pledge when I leave this building tonight that I'm not coming back here to receive a new word or some new elegant word from Brother Albert or Pastor McLean or the next evangelist. I'm not coming back to church to receive Brother Phillips giving me the word, a prophetic word that God gave. I'm coming back here to do all I can with God because God has called each of us to a measure of ministry. And what is that? Put life circumstances aside, church. When we walk in the house of God, when we're yoked up with Him, Sister McLean, would you come play? Who's playing? I want to show you the power of this tonight in very simple. Not even a Bible lesson, just talking. In your own way, I want you just to think about it, and I want you to close your eyes. And however you want to say it, I want you just to talk to God in a single word. If you just want to say Jesus, say Jesus. If you just want to say hallelujah, say hallelujah. Now we're whispering it. We're just whispering. But what happens when you lift your voice just a little bit, like you're talking to your neighbor? And it may just be my. It may be hot dog, Jesus. Maybe I just love you, Lord. But when we come to the house of God and we're yoked up in that flow of oneness with Him, you know what begins to happen? Chains fall off. Lives are transformed. People are set free of their spiritual battle. Closing, I want to say this to the church tonight. There's a ram that God has for us to see. But I need you to understand something as the body. The yoke that's got to happen in this church, it's already started happening. It's in a nucleus. Holiness and standards have become a wall where it's become a focus without the foundation being ready to build the walls. I want us to be very careful how we talk to people that don't know Him, that have not had revelation, that there's people that still receive the Holy Ghost, but they still don't have a development. They don't understand. Hello? I just wanted a little music tonight. We're not going to sing. I want you to carry this home with you, and I want you just to think on it. I want you to make a commitment. I'm going to be yoked up with Him. I'm going to be yoked up with my body, my believers, my church. There's multiple things happening already. There's things going on every week. If you're not connected, then find out how to get connected in every aspect. If you didn't notice, there was a special young man on that piano tonight. Last week, there was another individual. Sister McLean's got a
policy. We have a platform policy. Am I compromising that policy? You better believe not. But I better not hear any of us saints going and telling somebody what they got to do. That's not your business. I'm going to say it again. I don't care who you are. I'm the pastor of this church. I just talked to another elder. He's a major man in a big organization. Talked to him just this week. He said there's more people driving people out of the church because they're pushing something that they don't understand. And I said, that's exactly what I've been saying all along. I went into detail with this. Listen to me. There's drug dealers coming. We had one here on Sunday night, got to the edge of tongues, and then the spirit shut down. Pastor's just going to tell you why. Brother Jerry Long, thank you for praying and loving him. But it takes more than one man had in faith. It takes more than what Brother Gantz had in faith on one side and what Pastor had laying down. We was at that point where the door was fixed to swing open. But it was almost like somebody threw a basket of cold water on my back. And that spirit pulled back. But if there would have been a body that was yoked up, tired in your spirit, I know we worked hard on Saturday. I know we're all wore out. I preached Sunday morning, got cleaned up, came back, listened to Brother McClain on Sunday night, prayed and worked in it. But what happens when we can get yoked up together? It may be just you're sitting there praying in your own way. But when we got somebody in the altar, we don't need phones out in the sanctuary. Because we're becoming de-yoked with him and the purpose of the church. Hello? And we're yoking up with the spirits of the world and your words and your conversation in the sanctuary can shut down the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. People are getting prayed for and the healing power of God wants to fall. Hello? I'm commending you tonight for all those that's rushing to pray and to join in faith and prayer. That's where power is. It's in the church when we yoke up together. Very clearly, I'm going to say it again tonight. Please, I'm begging you, please, don't talk to somebody about holiness. I said, don't talk to somebody about holiness until they've learned how to have relationship with him and the Holy Ghost. My Bible tells me that the Spirit will lead and guide us.
Yeah.
We don't need to drag anybody. Because then the enemy uses that to start spinning us in a circle. And they walk out the door confused and they said, I'm never going back again. Because it's understanding. I'm not here getting on us tonight, church. I'm here to try to get us in unity. I'm trying to get us here together in that place because I'm telling you, I felt it again this afternoon. Brother Alba walked down the hall of the house and he come in there and he said, whoo, and he's talking in tongues. And I looked at him, I said, what's going on? He said, I just feel something good. I come here tonight to bring it light, load, simple. But I'm going to tell you what, this is the key to revival. Is when we can unify together. We unify together. We got to put our priorities right. So we got to put our priorities right. Well, I don't feel good. I had a headache, Brother McClain. Praise God. Come to church and let God heal your headache. Amen. I serve a God that can do miraculous things.
Yeah.
How many of you believe this tonight? If you believe it, stand to your feet. I'm going to brag on one more person, and I'm going to tell you one thing, and I'm done. It's that person that's back there louder than anybody else is clapping. Heaven, don't be weary in well-doing. He knows where you are. And there's 10,000 more of those heavens around. So 10,000 more. That little lady who's sitting beside you right there, don't you be weary in well-doing. Quit worrying about it. You're individual. You're custom made. Jesus made you. Let's walk out of here tonight telling everybody and telling each other how good they are, how much better they are than you are. Amen? Let's come back Sunday morning ready to have a Holy Ghost revival. Amen? You ready? Tell somebody something good. Don't forget the announcements. One thing before you leave, I need us to do one final thing. You got faith. You stood up. You believe what pastors just talked about tonight. I hadn't preached on it. I just talked. Sister Kathy Fouch has asked for prayer. Keep on playing. It's fine. I like that. She's going through a major ordeal, sickness in her body. The Bible says, do unto others you'd have them do unto you. I'm not giving glory to an individual, but that young lady is perfection when it comes to living for God and being faithful. We don't understand things, but I just wonder if there's a lady in here that says, I got enough faith, Brother McClain, and I'll come stand in her stead. And I'm not talking about Sister Beverly. Thank you. Come here, young lady. There's one of them babies right there that says, I got enough faith. I need some of you women to come up here and join around behind her. And I want us to pray that God would send into that home. I've been preaching faith. I've been talking about faith and unity and bonding together. I believe God can anoint. Brother Alba, go ahead and anoint her. Come on. You men, stretch your hands forward. All of you ladies, just come and join together. Put your hands on the back. We're going to pray tonight. Jesus. We got somebody in the situation, God, the body. You're the healer, the provider, the way maker. Let it go from this room. We don't have to understand. We don't have to know. We don't have to need anything about it, God. But the work of the church and the body of Christ, when we put everything aside, you said, by your stripes, there's healing virtue. Let it go forward, Lord, that the faith of this young lady go forth to Kathy. Visit her. Visit her mama. Be in that home, God, that it can be for your glory. In the name of Jesus.